He's well into his 70s, but Joe Biden doesn't seem to have lost much of his energy. The former vice president has not discouraged talk of a run for president.
He's promoting a book called Promise Me, Dad, A Year of Hope, Hardship, and Purpose. It reflects on his late son Beau's battle with brain cancer. The theme of the book prompted a question from NPR's Michelle Martin when she sat down with Biden yesterday.
I couldn't help but wonder if this part of it has been hard. I mean, you revisited the year to write the book, and now you're revisiting it to talk about it over and over again. What's this been like for you?
Well, it's been a lot harder for me than I anticipated. And I found myself about 3 weeks ago when I realized the commitment I made to do this book tour that I wasn't, well, I'll be blunt with you. I've been fairly sure-footed about the things I've done in my career. This is the one place that I feel the least sure-footed, because the reason I wrote the book was I wanted people to know about what a remarkable man our son was. And I also wanted to give hope to people who have gone through what we're going through without anywhere near the support we've had, and some with a considerably more difficult crises to face.
Joe Biden's book comes as his party continues to grapple with the 2016 election and the way the Democratic Party handled the nomination of Hillary Clinton. That's another subject he revisited in his conversation with Michelle.
As, of course, you know, Donna Brazile, who was the interim head of the DNC at the time, she replaced Debbie Wasserman Schultz, has now said in her new book that former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's campaign dominated the DNC because they were raising money to pay their bills. And then she also says that she considered replacing Hillary Clinton with you as the Democratic nominee. So is that true, that Hillary Clinton kind of had her thumb on the scale? And two, did anybody talk to you about replacing her?
No one ever talked about replacing her. Had they, I would have made it clear I would not be any part of that. That's number one. Number two, what I've noticed, whoever the candidate is, controls the DNC. I can't think of a time when I've been there for eight presidents and the nominees, whether it was George McGovern when I ran in 1972, all the way through to Bill Clinton, or when the president was the nominee. And so I didn't find anything particularly unusual in the putative nominee, you know, being the person who was the dominant force in the DNC.
Do you think that the Russians interfered in the 2016 election?
I know they did.
And if so, how?
I don't think.
If so, how?
And
to what end?
Well, I'm not going to speculate into what end. I assume is to help elect Trump, because all the negative stuff was directed against Hillary, number one. Number two, I've been briefed before I left on it when I still had the clearance, and every single solitary major institution having to do with the intelligence community says they interfered. We're now turning in all the stuff coming up on Facebook, all the stuff coming up. I mean, they were, at a minimum, trying to invoke some sense of chaos into the election. And I think it's pretty clear they were hoping that their efforts would elect Donald Trump.
This administration seems very dedicated to specifically rolling back policies that you and President Obama put in place. And I'm wondering what it's like for you to watch that happen.
It's distasteful, number one. It's sad, number two, but I still have hope, because I think on the big policies, for example, I got criticized for saying immediately after they got elected, saying they're going to repeal Obamacare. And I jokingly said, lots of luck in their senior year. They're not going to be able to repeal it. And I was right. They can damage it, but not repeal it. They're not going to be able to turn back what Barack and I did on gay rights and what we did on basic human rights. They're going to make it harder. They're going to slow it up, but they're not going to repeal it. The American people have already crossed the Rubicon on the vast majority of these things. Where they are going to do damage is when they attack basic, fundamental ideals of what constitutes being an American. The idea that we had these guys coming out from under rocks and out of the woods carrying torches and chanting Nazi slogans, anti-Semitic slogans in a historic town in the United States of America, carrying Nazi flags with white supremacists alongside them, and that not being absolutely condemned. Silence is complicity. Not only was it not condemned, you had the president making a relative comparison between those there to stop them and those people. That is sick. That is dangerous. That's not who we are as Americans. That's the part I find the most damaging, the most dangerous, that it really does present it, not only it casts an image across the world. Look, you know why we're the most powerful nation in the world. It's not just the example of our power. It's the power of our example.
So everybody and their brother has been asking if you're running in 2020, and I would probably get my reporter card revoked if I didn't ask you. So
the answer is
I have
no.
to ask you.
I have no plans on running in 2020. This is my focus is on my boy. I want people to know what an incredible man he was, and I want people to understand that there is hope afterwards. He's still with me. And I'm going to do everything I can to elect a Democratic Congress. But what people want me to say is under no circumstances will I run. That'd be a foolish thing to say. I don't know what's going to happen 2 years from now. But I've done nothing organizationally or structurally or in any other way to prepare to run for president. That is not in the cards now.
What reporters like to call a non-denial denial from former Vice President Joe Biden, speaking with NPR's Michelle Martin.